CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Malcolm Honlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. Syria, the darkness visible of the civil war for more than a decade, and the Assad regime in Damascus, outside of international community, or we welcome Andrew Tabler, the Gross Senior Fellow in the Program on Arab Politics at the Washington Institute. Andrew, a very good evening to you. Thank you for joining us. Is Assad finding doors opening to him, or is he still a pariah in many of the ordinary rich states? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Doors are opening to Assad. This is not something new from the regional countries. A number of countries, including the United Arab Emirates, among others, Jordan, have otherwise been reaching out to Assad. But the big change is that following the massive earthquake last February 6th along the Turkish-Syrian frontier, this has given these countries an entree to reengage with Assad, and they say that the thing that's allowing them to do so is a sort of permission from the U.S. government to go around U.S. sanctions placed on the Assad regime.
Malcolm?
So what do you assess right now, the role of Turkey to be? I know there were talks in Russia with the election coming up in Turkey. Will he try to heat up the border? Will they try now to expand their involvement further at this time?
Well, President Erdogan is, like all politicians, trying to be reelected. So the question is, how do you do that when you're in a tight race following a biblical scale earthquake? Well, one of the ways is you emphasize the security threat from Syria. And for them, for Turkey in particular, it comes from what they view as terrorism. That's partially ISIS terrorism, but more importantly, they view the Syrian Democratic Forces, with which the United States is partnered, as their arch enemies, as an offshoot of the PKK, the Kurdistan Workers Party. So therefore, they look at Syria, they look at the options there, and instead of confronting different parties within Syria, they're looking also to reengage with Assad to try and solve this problem so that eventually Turkish troops can be removed.
What part of the Syria map is Assad's control? I hear stories of all kinds of pirates wandering through, cutthroats, other armies, raids, earthquakes. Where does he live that he can control?
Nominally, Assad lives in the western part of the country, about 66% of Syrian territory. But to your point, that territory is not controlled by one party. Many times there are Iranian-backed militia or Lebanese Hezbollah in those areas. Sometimes there are Russian forces or Wagner forces in those areas or Russian military police. And this has led to a sort of mosaic of forces on the Assad regime's side. The idea with this engagement from the Arabs seems to be to try and wean Assad away from these kind of activities with Iranians and Russians and so on, back towards more Arab-centered activities, which would be centered around the monies coming from the Arab Gulf.
Malcolm?
What do you think the conditions would be for the United States to either further engage or to ultimately remove the few remaining troops that we have in Syria and in the region?
I don't believe the United States will engage with the Assad regime for a whole host of reasons. Most importantly, the CSER sanctions. CSER sanctions are sanctions for mass atrocities in Syria, named after the code word CSER is the regime photographer who took these horrific photos of the torture and horrific deaths of Syrian prisoners, which is just something right out of the Third Reich, not in the same scale, but just in the same level of atrocities. So that, I think, will keep for U.S. engagement. But regional parties are engaging with Assad already. They're meeting him either in Damascus or welcoming him to their countries. And there is a strong rumor that Saudi Arabia will welcome Assad to Saudi Arabia sometime in the very near future.
Can we regard Assad as in the Russian camp permanently, Andrew?
Assad is one of Russia's biggest allies in the world, perhaps after Armenia or a few other countries. And so therefore, Putin in particular, counts on Assad for support, and they have consistently voted in support of Russia at the UN, particularly on issues such as Ukraine.
And just a moment, I have heard stories that this linkage is more than just geopolitical expedience, that there were many intermarriages when the Soviet Union existed, and there are Syrian Russians going back and forth. Is that accurate, Andrew?
There are, and that's a very old story, actually, in Syria, but it's not a huge percentage of the population. But Syria, to your point, Syria is has been a ally of Russia since the end of the Cold War. And then during the Cold War, it was a huge ally of the Soviet Union, a recipient of huge amounts of Soviet arms. So therefore, it's not surprising that there's an overlap between these two. Syria as a country, I think, will never be an ally of the United States and will be much closer to Russia in the future as well.
Malcolm?
Could you tell us about why Captagon has become such a big issue, especially the production in Syria destabilizing the region and its impact on its own diplomatic relations?
As the Assad regime has been isolated, the regime has turned to more illicit activities than it even did previously, which mostly concerned cannabis production in Lebanon or cocaine production and so on. So Captagon and amphetamine is a sort of war and party drug. It keeps people up, and there's a huge demand for it in the Gulf among the young population there in particular. And the problem is, like all amphetamines and all illicit drugs, people get hooked on them and then they can't get off of them. And in conservative Gulf monarchies in particular, this is a large concern of theirs, and I think one that's unlikely to go away soon. They're hoping that engagement with Assad could shut the Captagon off. The question is, how is that really possible given that the regime itself is involved in the Captagon production?
Does Assad have a legitimate dream of returning to Paris and being feted in the Elysee Palace at once upon a time? That happened. Does he dream it happens again?
I think he dreams it. I think it's extremely unlikely. But I don't think he really wants engagement, direct engagement with the West, if it comes at any kind of cost. He would just be happy with being allowed to retake Syrian territory and to become king of the rubble heap. The problem I think he's going to have is he also wants the West and its allies to pay for Syrian reconstruction, for the level of destruction, huge swaths of which are responsible, are direct responsibility of the Assad regime. And I think it's unfortunate that Syria has been destroyed, but it's very, very unlikely that the West is going to reconstruct it.
Malcolm?
Do you think the buildup inside Syria itself, is it continuing near the border with Israel? You mentioned a lot of the groups that are operative, including the Wagner group and all the militias, the Iranian militias. The reports were that they were using the cover of aid shipments to Syria to smuggle in weapons, and Israel has responded. Is there a qualitative change over these last few months in the military situation there?
The Iranians have read the U.S. has issued a general license, which means a sort of license to get around U.S. sanctions for 180 days starting from February. So it will last until next August. That general license allows the purchase and movement of aid shipments into Syria. So it opens the valve. Once the valve is opened, then many parties try and see, well, what can we get into Syria under the rubric of earthquake relief? That's a legal issue. There's also a transportation issue, and this is where this question becomes relevant, I think. Those materials have to be moved into Syria mostly by plane. So the Iranians are using that valve, that opening in the valve, to bring in supposedly earthquake relief, but in actuality, it's weapons.
Andrew Tabler is the Martin Gross Senior Fellow in the Program on Arab Politics at the Washington Institute. Malcolm Honlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Babbitt.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.